Today's daf is Gittin Daf Yud Aleph. We are holding on Daf Yud Amud Beis at the two dots in the bottom of the page. We did the mission yesterday about shtaros that come from our ko'os shalov dekhavim, that come from non-Jewish courts. So the Mishnah had said that shtaros that come from our ko'os shalov dekhavim are kosher, except for Gittin Nashim Shukhri Avadim. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's kosher too. Even Gittin Nashim Shukhri Avadim are kosher as well. So first order of business today is to figure out what Rabbi Shimon is talking about. How could you say that we're going to rely on Gittin Nashim and Shukhri Avadim that come from our ko'os shalov dekhavim? What the criteria are to rely on such shtaros? Then the Gemara is going to have two different ways of explaining the last line of the Mishnah, where the last line of the Mishnah said that lo huskru bizman shenasu behedyot. What's that all about? What's only huskru bizman shenasu behedyot? So the Gemara is going to have two ways of explaining that. And then the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time discussing shemos muvhakin versus shemos shein muvhakin. That not every time you have a non-Jewish name in a get is it the same thing. Sometimes there are names that are very obviously non-Jewish, which ironically is a little bit better, because if it's very obviously not Jewish, then everyone knows that we're not really relying on those chasimos, and we'll rely on the Ede Mesira. Whereas if it's not so obviously non-Jewish, it's going to be a bigger problem. Gemara is going to talk about shtari mamon that come from Parsa'a with Jewish Ede Mesira. What are you allowed to use those shtaros for? Can you collect from Bnei Charin, from Mishubadim? What are the criteria to be able to use it at all? On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about a get that comes with Shemel She'enim of Hakin, and we're not sure if it was written by Jews or by non-Jews. So it may depend if it came from Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, because they had different naming practices in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, so playing the odds are a little bit different in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. And then Daf is going to conclude by talking about Tofes Bal Chov B'makom She'chav L'Acher. Mishnah is going to talk about being, if you sent a get or a Shtar Shichrur through a shaliach, and the shaliach has not yet delivered it, can you still be chozer? Can you call the shaliach back and say that you do not want it delivered? So this relates to the issue of zachin ladam shalom befanav, and the Gemara is going to relate it to tofes lebal chov b'makom shechav l'acherim. Can you grab something for somebody even though someone else is losing out? Other than the person you're grabbing it for is very happy, but somebody else is going to be losing out because you're grabbing something for somebody. So that's going to be the last sugya on today's daf. Let's begin at the two dots in daf Yud Amud Beis, about 5-6 lines before the end of the page. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Eluk Sherin. So the Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Shimon, even Gitei Nashim and Shechuri Avadim that come from Archos Shalom the Chavim are kasher. Ask the Gemara, V'alav B'nei Krisos Ninhu. How could that possibly be kasher? They're not B'nei Krisos, and therefore their writing of Gittin should be totally invalid. Tosfos points out we could have asked stronger, not just Lav B'nei Krisos, but Lav B'nei Eidos Ninhu. They can't say Eidos, they're Pasala Eidos. They're not considered Eidim at all. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zera, Yared Rabbi Shimon L'shitasol Shal Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Shimon was assuming like the Shitas Rabbi Lazar, Damar Eidim Sirakarti, that Rabbi Lazar holds Edim Sirakarti, and that's what Rabbi Shimon was assuming, and therefore it's irrelevant that the people signed on the get are Gayim and it comes from our Kol Shalakum. We assume that there were Edim Sira who were Jews who saw it being implemented. But that still doesn't solve all the problems, because even Rabbi Lazar is Moda that if it's Mizuyif Mitocho that it's possible, that if there's a problem in the text of the get itself, that it's going to be possible because or in the signing of the get itself, it's going to be possible, because in a chinami, we may be relying on Edi Mesira, but if the people that signed it should not be signing it, people might rely on those same signatures elsewhere, where you don't have Edi Mesira, and that would be a terrible thing if people relied on those signatures when you don't have Edi Mesira. See, even Rabbi Lazar is Moda, that when it's Mezuyif Mitocho, it's a problem. Isn't this a case of Mezuyif Mitocho? And Sugmar HaChem HaSkinan B'Shemos Mufhakin. That over here we're talking about a case where it's Shemos Mufhakin, which means that it's very clearly names of Ovdei Kochavim. No Jews go by those names, and therefore there's no concern that Asi L'Mismach, that you're going to come to rely on those people who are signed in this get b'makom acher, in other situations, because they're obviously goyim. But if it was shemel she'enem ufakin, that's where Rabbi Lazar has a problem of mezuyif mitocho. There's no problem of mezuyif mitocho with shemel smufakin. Hey chidami shemel smufakin, what are some examples of names that are so clearly non-Jewish names? Amra papa, kigon, hormiz, v'uvdina, Bar Shiftai, Ubar Kidri, Ubati, Vinakimona, those are all classic names that are very, very clearly non-Jewish names. Tosus has a couple of comments about these names. Tosus points out that the Girsa should not be Hormiz, but Hormid. He says, Binun, Garas Rabbeinu Tam, Delo, Maski Yisrael Hachi, that a Jew would not call their children by such a name, the Hormin, who shame Satan v'Shade, because Hormin is the name of a Satan and a Shade, so we would never name our children after Shadim, or after a Satan of some sort. Aval Hormiz Zayin Hu L'Shvach, but the name Hormiz with the Zayin, that's a very beautiful name. Parakecha Dine Mamnus, Bipalga Didach L'El, the Hormiz, L'Tachas to Hormin, Harishon B'Zayin V'Hashenim B'Shin, V'Rashi Garz Tarvayu B'Zayin, El Shabshenim Garz Da'a, Hormiz, but whatever it is, we say over there in Sanhedrin Daf Lamites that the top half is for Hormiz. Hormiz is a good thing. The Ifro Hormiz appears in Bab Basra in the first paragraph in Daf Ches, Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Chain Me Eis HaMakom, the Ifro Lashon Chain, Kemo Apari Nimtia, Velo Kirashi, the Pirish Perk Shane, the Nida, the Yofi Shal Shade Mayula. So Hormiz sounds like, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is a beautiful name, it's a wonderful name. So that can't be the gear. So over here it has to be Hormin, because there's nothing wrong the name Hormiz. The more interesting one is Shabtai, that it says one of the names is Bar Shiftai. So Rashi Tosus points out, Shavtai Garsinan, the Shabtai Shem Yisrael who become a Mekamos. Aval Shabtai Hu Ruach Ra Ketam Parakol HaBasar. So if the name has an Aleph in it, if it's Shabtai, that's a Ruach Ra, that Jews would never give such a name. But Shabtai is a very common Jewish name that you have all the time. So some of the Achronim say, even with an Aleph, it's a Jewish name. It's the Gemara said, Shivtai is not a Jewish name. Shin Yud Beis, not Shin Beis, Taf Aleph Yud. That's what Bishmul writes, I think, in Shulchan Aruch. Bishmul, when he does Shemos Nashim Begitin, so he says that Shabtai with an Aleph and without an Aleph are both normal names that people have, but the Shivtai, that's a name that people don't really normally have. Okay, so those are all Shemos Mufakin. So says Gemara Vaitin, now third line from the top, Aval Shemel She'en Mufakin Mai, what would the din be if it was Shemel She'en Mufakin, if these were names that could possibly be Jews but aren't, so says Gemara Lo, then it would not be good, because then it would be Mezuyif Mitocho, and Rabbi Lazar, even though Rabbi Lazar holds Edim Mesira Karti, he would say that this is a problem because you might come to be Somech on those Edim. Well, Ihachi, if that is true, that Shemel She'en Mufakin is enough to make it a problem, look at the last line of the Mishnah. Right after Rabbi Shimon says Af Eluk Sheirin, the last line of the Mishnah says Lo Huskru Ella Bizman Shenasa Behediot, that the only time you can have a psul is if it wasn't done in our ka'os, it was done by behediot, it was done by regular non-Jews who just happened to write a pshtar. That's the only way it's going to make a psul. Well, ihachi, if we're going to say that anytime it's shemel she'en mufakim, it's automatically psul, even if it's done by our ka'os, adetani seifa lahuskrel bismach nas behediot, instead of the seifa having to come up with a new case to make it psul by saying that it wasn't even done in our ka'os, it was done by a hedyot, it was done by some guy on the street, on the street corner somewhere, just writing up shtaros. So you could come up with a better case, a bigger chiddush of a psul. Liflug v'lisni b'dida, keep the case what we were talking about, that it's done by our ka'os, and you could still say that it's pasul ba'medvar ma'murim b'shemus mufakin. That when do we say that it's kasher? When does Rabbi Shimon say that it's kasher? Because he follows Rabbi Lazar the Reidim Mesira Karti. That's only b'shemus mufakin, where you don't have a problem of mezuyif mitocho. Aval shemel she'en mufakim lo. But if it's shemel she'en mufakim, then you have a problem of mezuyif mitocho. And even according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be a problem. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? Why does the Mishnah have to come up with this new case of nasa behediot? We could have kept the same case of nasa berakos and still come up with a way that it's going to be possible. Tosa says the Chor, the Gemara could have asked better. Instead of asking, why not say a bigger Chiddush, Tosa says, V'imtomer Adrab, Tikshile Gufat Masnis and Lama Pasal Behadiot, Kivin Dike Eidim Masir V'Shemus Mufakin. The Gemara could have asked stronger, why is it Taka Pasal if it's made Behadiot? Meaning, why is it okay, Barakos? It's Gayim, why should they have the right to make Gittin for us? So the answer the Gemara gave was, they're not really making Gittin for us. It's the Eidim Masirah that are making the get happen. And you don't have to worry about Mazif Mitocha because we're dealing with Shemos Mufakin. So if that's the case, then what's the Mainaf Kamina between our Ka'os and Hadiotos? Either way, they're not the ones that we're relying on. What we're really relying on is the Eidim Masira. So that shouldn't that have been the Kasha? Forget about that. There are two ways you could say a Kasha. That, you know, you could have said a better Chiddush. Okay, it's a Kasha. You could have said a better Chiddush. But a much stronger Kasha is what you said is wrong. That what you said is halachically incorrect. So Tosa says that's what we should be asking over here. That even behediotos it should be kosher. V'yeshlomer digazrin behediot kitei nashim atu shtar sharos to pasli behediot af be'edim mesira. That it must be that there's a gzera that we're not going to allow kitei nashim behediot atu other shtaros shtarei mamon which we wouldn't allow behediot. Dilmasi la'ach shebelow edim mesira kimo barakos. Where other shtaros we have to worry that maybe we're going to allow it even without edim mesira, just like we allow other shtaros barakos without edim mesira. You might come to because that's dina de malchus adina. So we allow shar shtaros barakos without edim mesira, the shtarei mamon barakos without edim mesira. So we're afraid we might come to allow shtarei hediot without edim mesira as well. Avgav de besamach chafidra. Rabban the pasi shar shtaros behediot beidi mesir machshirin bikitei nashim velo gazrin atu shtaros. Even though by kitei nashim we allow with edim mesira, we don't make any gzera that you might confuse it with other shtaros. We kol makom lo yachal gemar lasos kushimiza dil matanu demesnis and gazar. You can't make a kasha that you should have not made a gzera because this one didn't make a gzera. The Tana of the Mishnah felt that would have been a good enough reason to make a gzera that we're not going to allow behediotos. So it's not a Kasha, why do we say it's possible by Hediotos? It must be that there's a gezera by Hediotos that you can't allow Gitei Noshim, even with Eidei Mesira, unless you come to allow Shtarei Mamon without Eidei Mesira by Hediotos as well. So says the Gemara. So back to the kasha that we did ask. So what was the kasha that we did ask? Instead of coming up, you want to come up with a case where it's going to be possible. So instead of coming up with a case where it's hediotos, you should say it's talking about our ka'os, but the shemos that we're dealing with are shemos shein mufakin, and that's possible. Says Gemara Hachinami Kamar. It's exactly what we are saying. By medvar murmurim b'shemos mufakin, al b'shemos shein mufakin nasa kimi shenasa behediot upsulin. When we say that shemos shein that nasa behediot is possible, what we really mean to say is that if you have Shemos Shein Mufakin, it is the equivalent of Nasa Behadiot, and therefore it is possible. So you just have to add a few words into the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah means to say. V'i Bayasema, the other possibility is Seifa Asa'in L'Gite Mamon, that the Seifa is talking about Gite Mamon, is not talking about Gittin anymore. It's going back on the discussion of monetary documents. What did the Mishnah say? There were three statements in the Mishnah. First statement in the Mishnah was, all shtaros that are made by our kaos are perfectly fine, except for Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. Statement number two, Rabbi Shimon says, even Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. Statement number three, that it's not okay if it's made by Hediotos. So says the Gemara, statement number three is going back to statement number one. You said all shtari mammon are good when they're made by our kaos. Statement number three is saying, no, all shtari mammon are good when they're made by our kaos. That's true, but not when they're made by Hediotos. It's not talking about Gitei Nashim. Eino chinami, if you want to come up with a case where Gitei Nashim are possible, you could just say that it's made by our kaos, but it's Shemos Shein Mufakin. But that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to discuss Gitei Mamon, Vachikamar, Lohuskru Gitei Mamon to Psulim, El Bismachinasu Behediot. That the only case we can come up with of Gitei Mamon that are possible is if it's Nasu Behediot. Yeah, but Gitei Nashim Enachinami, even Barakos, Gitei Nashim could be possible if you have Shemos, Shein Mufakin. Tanya, Amr Ablozer Rabbi Yossi, Kacham Rabbi Shimon Lechacham Mitzidan. Rabbi Shimon said to Lechacham Mitzidan, Lenechluk Rabbi Yekiv Vachamim, Al Kalash Taros Haol and Barakos Lechavim, Shav Pisha Chosmein of the Chavim Ksherim, Vafil Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. That Rabbi Shimon said that Rabbi Yekiv and Lechacham, everyone agrees that all Staros produced by non-Jewish secular courts, even though the signature are Gayim, they're all kosher, even Gitei Nashim and Shechorei Avadim, lo nechleku ela b'zman shenasu behedyot. The whole machlokas is not like it appears in our Mishnah Ba'arkaos. No, the whole machlokas is only when it's made by a hedyot. Shrebi Kiva Machshir, Rebbe Kiva says it's kasher, even when it's made by a hedyot. The Chum Pasul and the Chum say that it's possible and made by a hedyot. Chutz mi Gitei Nashim v'shechorei avadim, except for Gitei Nashim and Shechorei Avadim, that where it's apparently going to be kasher. Why is it going to be kasher? Because you have Eidei Mesira. Rav Shimon Liel Omer Af Elu Ksherin. I'm sorry. The Chum say it's all right. And then Rav Shimon Liel says Af Elu Ksherin b'makom she'in Yisrael Chosmin, that those are kasher too. Even if it's signed by Goyim and it's made by Goyish, that's also going to be kasher. If it's a makom she'ein Yisrael, if it's a makom she'ein Yisrael chosmin, the Rashi says afel ksherim is referring to Gitei Nashim, that the Gitei Nashim are going to be kasher if it's a place where they don't allow Jews to sign documents. So everyone's going to realize, as Rashi points out, kolomar afel Gitei Nashim shatem machshirin emasayin ksherim, afel ksherim is not going on what we said is what we previously said is possible. We're saying afel ksherim is what you just said is kasher. The Gitei Nashim that you just said is kasher. You're right. It's kosher, but that's only when in that city Jews don't sign the shtaros. Because the Goyim don't allow Jews to sign shtaros. Because since Jews aren't signing the shtaros in that city, everyone knows that they're Goyim. No one's going to come to be somech on those signatures. That's the equivalent of having shemos muvhakin. Meaning, if you have a place where everyone who signs shtaros are Goyim, and it's yadua that Jews are not allowed to sign shtaros, so that's the equivalent of having shemos muvhakin signed, because you know that it's Goyim and no one's going to come to rely on them. So that's the that's when we say the Gitei Nashim are kasher, when Goyim are signed in it. But if it's a place where they allow Jews to sign in shtaros, then you cannot allow, you cannot kasher, you cannot be machshir a get that has Goyim signed on it, that's produced by Goyim. Says the Gemara, Makom Shein Yisrael Chosmin Nami Ligzor Atu Makom Shein Yisrael Chosmin. Well, why don't we make a gezeira that in a place where Jews don't sign, we should say that Jews are not allowed to sign, we should say that it's possible to a case where Jews are allowed to sign. Meaning, why do we say that it's kosher where Jews are not allowed to sign? Because no one's going to come to rely on them. But in a case where Jews are allowed to sign, people might come to rely on the Goyim who actually did sign. So why don't we make a gzera one to the other? Tosus points out, what kind of gzera is this? Tosus points out, parach in the end of Tosus Dibur Maskel Nechleku, uparach makom she'in Yisrael Chosmin nami ligzar perish kivin de b'makom she'in Yisrael Chosmin gzeras shemos mufakin atu shemos she'in mufakin. Since in a place where Yisraelim are Chosmin, we make gazarta, we make a gzera of shemos mufakin atu shemos she'in mufakin. Meaning, in a place where Yisraelim sign, even if the names are very clearly non-Jewish names, we made a gzera that that's no good, that we might come to rely on them. So in a place where Jews are not allowed to sign, we should make a gzera to a place where Jews are allowed to sign. So what are we asking here? We're asking that we should make a gzera the gzera. That we're trying to say that we should make a gzeira makom she ein yisrael chosmin, not a makom she yisrael chosmin. Why is it possible in a place where yisrael chosmin? That too is a gzeira. That itself is a gzeira. Because we're talking about shemos mufakin in those places. So that itself is a gzeira atu shemos shein mufakin. So the Gemara is asking, we should have made a gzeira l'gzeira? Says Tosfos, exactly. Yeah, the Gemara is asking that. Afal pi davi ken gzeira l'gzeira. Even though this seems a lot like gzeira l'gzeira, mikol makom istavra l'makshet, kivin d'chashinu kulei l'anami avala l'mechash. The makshet assumes, the Gemara is assuming and asking this kasha, that once we're going to be so choshesh, we might as well be choshesh a step further as well. That the issue of gzera l'gzera is not an ironclad rule that you're not allowed to make a gzera l'gzera. We do make gzera l'gzera all over the place. It's just that typically there's a limit to how far we're going to go with a gzera. The Chum are not authorized to just make as many dinim as they want, regardless of the concern. There has to be a reasonable concern. So usually by the time you're in that second level of gzera l'gzera, we're beyond reason. It's no longer a reasonable concern. But sometimes a gzera l'gzera is also reasonable. That that it's such a dangerous area or it's such a tricky thing that we see fit to make a gzera l'gzera. So we see that we're so careful about Gitei Nashim that we made that first gzera which seemed somewhat far fetched. So now it makes sense that not to be mechalik between that gzera and an additional gzera. So answers the Gemara, no, there's no need to make such a gzera because shema b'shema machlif, asra ba'asra lo machlif. People might mistake a shemos mufakin for shemos shein mufakin, but people are not going to mistake one place for another place, meaning a place where they allow Jews to sign with a place that they don't allow Jews to sign. So it's true that in a case where you have shemos mufakin, we are gozer atu shemos shein mufakin, but we're not going to be gozer a place where makom she. She'ein Yisrael Chosmin atu a place where makom she'ein Yisrael Chosmin. Ravina savar lachshuri b'knufi asa da'armai. Ravina was going to allow knufi asa da'armai, which are not even arkos. They're just like guys who make shtaros. Amalei Rafram arkos son. Rafram said, no, we only rely on arkos. We don't rely on stamediotos. Amar Rav, ha'ish tara parsa, demasri nehalei b'api sa'adei Yisrael, magvin me'im nechari. If you have a star that was made by Parsa'i people, that was given in front of Jewish witnesses, you can collect with it from Bnei Chorin, from the Chasim Bnei Chorin. You can't collect from the Chasim Shubadim, meaning if the person who owes the money has since sold his properties, you're not allowed to go and confiscate from the Lekuchos, but whatever the Chasim Bnei Chorin, you go into his house and you can take whatever he has of value. So, frankly, more of a lo yadi l'mikra, but how does anyone know how to read the Parsai language? No one knows how to read what it actually says. The Edom don't know what exactly was given in front of them. And says Gemara, b'diadi, you have to make an ukimta that they know how to read Parsai. Otherwise, obviously, it wouldn't work. But don't you need a ksav that you can't be mezayif, that the klaf should be made in such a way where you can't forge it? And the Parsai people didn't make such staros. And Sumar Bedafitzon, we're talking about a case where they did make such staros, where they treated the klaf in such a way that it's any yachal is daif, that it's not erasable. Tosos points out in the bottom Tosos, mashmat below afitza yachal is daif. Sounds like if you don't treat it with this afitza, with kol juice or whatever it is that they would treat the star with, that it would be a possible star because it's yachal is daif. So Fractosos, how do we write anything nowadays? We don't do afitzan. Vim tomer hechanu kosin b'klaf mishalan lo afitzan and sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos diftra possible kulu. The Gemara says in Megillah that a Megillah that's nichtav b'dlo afitzan is not kosher because it could easily be erased. So that's because it's called a sefer. So it has to be have the same din as a get because we call a Megillah a sefer. So if that's the case, kal v'chomer sefer Torah is called a sefer and all of kisvei stam should be a problem if it's law of Hitzon. Tosa says, "Vam Rabbeinu Tam di ibud sid shalanu ki ibud afatzim shalahem." What we do to treat our parchments is the equivalent of what they did to treat them. We don't use the exact same method, but it has the exact same result. That our parchments are also not forgeable. You can't just easily erase something from our parchments either. But isn't there also a requirement that you have to chazer over in the last line of the shtar exactly the main points of the shtar? So answers the Gemara, b'dimahader. Yeah, they did that too. These Parsai people, they took care of everything. So, wow, they did everything. If they produced such a good shtar that's not forgeable, and they were chazer b'inyan shel shtar, and everyone, the Edom, knew exactly what was going on, so why can't you collect from the chasim shabadim? Why can you only collect from the chasim nechah? And it's Gemara Lesley Kala. To collect from the Chasim Shabbatim, it has to be something that the Lekuchos could have known to be aware of, that they could have known to be careful about. Because when people buy land, they're taking a risk. So they would do the research, but it has to be something that's researchable, that they should be able to find out about it. So it has to have something that has a kol. Shtari Parsai don't have a kol. No one finds out about it, and therefore we feel bad for the Lekuchos. We're not going to allow us to confiscate from the Lekuchos, from people who have since bought land from this fellow. Rish Lakish asks the following. Edom achosim al get, shemosein kishemos of the kha v'mahu. If you have Edom signed on a get, and their names are names of Ovdei Kochavim, but we don't know if the people are actually Goyim that are signed on the get, but these names are non-Jewish names. So what's the din? Amalei lo bal yadenu el lukus v'lus v'chsharnu. We had that situation, the names on the get were lukus and lus, those are not Jewish names, and we were machshir. V'dafka v'lukos v'lus l'shchichi v'yishol d'maski b'shem asayu. And it was dafka in those cases because it's not normal for Jews to have such names, and that's why we allowed it, because we were relying on Eidim Sira, and we consider that not to be Mesuyif Mitocho. Aval shem hasachrin d'shchichi v'yishol d'maski b'shem asayu, lo. But if you have other names where it's common that Jews go by those non-Jewish names, then it's not going to be good. That even though their names are like names of Avdei Chavim, it's still going to be kosher. Why? Because Rov Yisrael in Chutz Laaretz has the same names as names of Avdei Chavim. So even without Eidim Mesira, there's going to be kosher. L'chora, Rashi points out, I feel below Eidim Mesira, Kosh came by Eidim Mesira, Dol Machaskin, L'el B'Yisrael, Fisherov Yisrael B'Chutz Laaretz, right? The Gemara is saying that it's because we assume that these people actually are Jewish. It's not a matter of the Goyim that signed, are they Shemus Mufakin, so it'll be obvious that they're Goyim, or Shemus Shem Mufakin, where it's not going to be obvious that they're Goyim. No, these come from Chutz Laaretz. You have two people, comes from America or from England, and it says Jonathan, and it says so and Mark, and those are very common names for Jewish people to have. So if they're signed on the bottom of a get, so that's going to be kosher. Rovi Yisrael Shem Chutz Laaretz have such names. Says Gemara, Hasam Kedektani Taima Mnei Shrovi Yisrael Shem Chutz Laaretz Shem Oseinu Kshem Osavik Chavim. Yeah, that's different because that's coming from Chutz Laaretz, where most of the Jews in Chutz Laaretz have such names. But if we're coming from Eretz Yisrael, then we have to assume that it's really Goyim and it's Shem Os She'ein Mufakim, and that's why it's going to be a problem. V'ikad Amri Aki Masnisa. And some say that he really asked about Gitna Ba Medina Siam and Shemus of the Chavim, and Rabbi Yochanan answered that they're kosher because we assume they're Becheskas Yisrael, because Rov Yisrael B'chutz Laaretz have Shemos like Shemos of the Chavim. Rov Yisrael B'chutz Laaretz have non-Jewish names. It's an interesting discussion in Poskim whether one is allowed to have a non-Jewish name. Are you allowed to name your kid with Shemos Shel Goyim? The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says in the name of Rabbi Yosef that the Rishonim, the earlier generations, they knew their Yichus already, so they would name their kids based on events that happened in their lifetimes or around the circumstances of the birth. But we, who don't know our Yichus, so we want to keep our Yichus alive by keeping certain names within the family, and then you remember your Yichus better. And Rishon Gamliel says that the Rishonim were Meshamshim Ruach HaKodesh, so that's why they were able to name after events that happened, because Ruach HaKodesh helped them to come up with brand new names, so they were able to make new names. We can't make up new names, so we go with names that the forefathers had. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of times in certain communities, they like to make up new names. But the Medrash says that's not the way we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to name after names of our families. So, or biblical names, names of tzaddikim, there's sources for all of those things. So in Yisod Yeshurun, he says that until the door of Rabbi Yosef Meshur Meichai, the minhag was to give based on events that were happening. So you understand why the names of Tanaim and Amoraim are not taken from Kisvei HaKodesh, because they were called, their names were based on what was going on in their circumstances. And Amei Aretz also did that. They would also name after what was going on. So a lot of times, their names were the same names as the names of Goyim. So that's why we're saying that in Chutz Laaretz, they always had the same names as they often had. They say, because an event happened in the community, so all the Goyim named their kids like that, and all the Jews named their kids like that. Everyone named their kids a very similar names. It's not that the Jews were naming after Goyim, they were naming after events, and the events were the same events. But in Eretz Yisrael, where they spoke Lashon HaKodesh, so they didn't give the same names, because they would give names in the language that they spoke, so they spoke Lashon HaKodesh. So the names that the Jews would give, even when naming after events, were still different names than the names that the Goyim would give. But what about, is it permissible? Is it permissible to call a child a non-Jewish name? So in the Chuvus Marash Dam, Yerdeus and Kuvtzadites, he says it's got to be mutter. The Gemara says Rov Yisrael Shebuchutzlar Shemosein Kshemosov Dicham. You're going to say Rov Yisrael? What a terrible thing that is to say, that Rov Yisrael were violating some sort of Isser, and as some Paschim wanted to say Nisa Daraisa, Rov Yisrael are violating Nisa Daraisa. And even though you say Shalom Bershus Chamasukein, sometimes we say, yeah, people did things, but it was Shalom Bershus Chachamim by Rov Yisrael. you can't say that. But it's a significant minority, you could say it, that they did Shalom Rishus Chum. Rov Yisrael, Shalom Rishus Chum, can't be that it's Asr Medina. And you look through, Rav Moshe points out, you look through Shas, and you find that a lot of the Amorim very clearly had non-Jewish names. However, the Maram Shik, Talmud Chassam Sofer, Yerodeus Simon Kuf Samach Tes, Maram Shik says it's Nisa Dar Reisa. V'avdil Eschem Min Ha'amim, we have to be separate from the nations. So the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Beis explains by the Mitzvah of Mila that Mishor Shei Mitzvah Zar Kosh Baruch wants to be Koveh Ba'am Yisrael Asher Hivdil Shaya Nikra Al Shemo Simen Kavua Begufam Shaya Hevdil Beinam Levein Shara Amin Bitzuras Gufam Kimo Sheheim Uvdolim Behem Mehem Bitzuras Nafshosam, that we should try to be as separate as possible, and this is how we do it. That's how we, that's one of the ways we do it, is by having different names. Ramesh says, if Ramesh argues that you're allowed to have secular names. So Rashi says, aye, then how come the Medrash says that the great Zuchus that Klal Yisrael had, that we were able to get out of Mitzrayim, was because we didn't have Shloshinu Hashemam, we didn't change our names, we didn't have Egyptian names, we had Jewish names. He said, yeah, that's because we didn't have a Torah then. So the only way to be distinct was with our names and with our clothing and with whatever little things that we had to maintain a Jewish identity. But now we have Taryag Mitzvos to maintain a Jewish identity. Once you have Taryag Mitzvos to maintain a Jewish identity, does it really matter what they call you? You sit in and you learn in Daf Yomi in the morning, and then you go to Shachris and you wear Yamka and Yad, you wear Tzitzis, and then you go to, of course you're different than a guy, everything we do is different than a guy, so then the Shemos aren't going to matter as much. That's how Rav Meisher writes in the Tshuva. Okay, new Mishnah, says the Mishnah, the guy says, give this get to my wife, give this Shtar Shichur to my Eved, if he wants to back out even after the shliach is on his way, before the shliach has delivered it, he can still be chazir. Divrei Meir, that's what Meir said. Say, no, that's only true by Gitei Nashim, but not by Shechurei Avadim, because we have a din of Zachal Nadim Shlo B'Fanav. So once the shliach was given the get for the Eved, the shliach was kona it on behalf of the Eved, he was able to become the Eved Shliach, to be Zochin the Get on behalf of the Eved, because it's a great Zuchus to be let out of Avdus. So Zochin Adam Shlo B'Fanav, and therefore the person is already free, it's too late, you can't be Chozer. The reason is Zachar Shalom B'Fanav, one might say, no, it's a Chov for the Eved, because he was getting supported by the Master until now. Now he's not getting supported. Well, he doesn't have to be supported by the Master. The Master could say, I'm not interested in supporting my Eved, and he's within his rights to do so. So it's still a Zachos for the Eved to go free. By an Isha, getting supported is very helpful, because the husband does not have the right to say that he's not interested in supporting his wife. But wait a second, the Eved, if the master is a Kohen, if the owner is a Kohen, the Eved by being freed is losing out on the rights to eat Truma. He's now not going to be allowed to eat Truma, so doesn't that make it a Chov instead of a Zuchus? The fact that he's allowed to eat Truma is a reflection of the fact that he's like Kishoro v'chamoro. It's a reflection of the fact that he's Kinyano of the Adon. It's very different. The reason that a Kohen's wife is allowed to eat Truma is not the same reason the Kohen's Eved is allowed to eat Truma. Kohen's wife is allowed to eat Truma not because she's Kishoro v'chamoro. She's a Ben Bayis by him, not Kishoro v'chamoro. The Eved is Kishoro v'chamoro. It's a reflection. It reflects poorly. I think the Arsamech points this out somewhere, that it's a separate din, that it's learned from separate psukim. There are separate psukim that teach that the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. I don't remember what the psukim are, but separate psukim that teach that a wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, and that the Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. And the Eved's Kishor of a Chamorro, wife is a different status. Wife is an elevated status, that she's married to a Kohen. That's why, because when you get married, it's not that you own the wife. We call it a Baal. A Baal doesn't mean an owner, it means a husband. That when you get married, there's a Kinyan Isser. There's no Kinyan Mamon in a marriage. There's a Kinyan Isser. You don't own the woman, you're married. It creates a Chalos Yishus. When you buy an Eved, though, it's a Kinyan Isser also, because it becomes Chayv and Mitzvah's Kiisha, but it's also a Kinyan Mamon, that you own Kohanim. So the fact that he's able to eat truma is not because of the Kinyan Nisr Shabbat, it's because of the Kinyan Mamon Shabbat, it's because he's Keshara V'chamara. So that's that doesn't reflect on any elevated status. He wants he doesn't want that privilege. So that's not a good thing for the Eved. Says Gemara, Yasser Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Kamei de Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'yasser Rabbi Yirmiyah V'kamei Namneim, Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef were sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. And actually, before we get to that, Tosfos points out over here, B'gitei Nashim Avalobe Shukhrei Avadim, that the Yerushalmi gives a different reason why it is that you could be Kona for Gadish and not for Shukhrei Avadim. B'Yerushalmi Bayi, Haga Atzmecha, Haya Avdu Shal Katzen Arechovuhu Le'Eved, Harei Shoyse Ishto Shal Mukashchin, Harei Zuchusula. Can we really say a blanket statement that every time for a woman to get divorced, it's a chov for a woman to get divorced, and it's a zuchus for never to be let free? Let's say this Eved is working for the richest man alive, and he's got the most comfortable accommodations, and everything is wonderful for him. And the guy has so many avadim, he barely even has to work. You know, he's got a great cushy job. So you're going to say that it's a chova for the Eved to go free? What's he going to do on his own? He's not going to do nearly as well on his own. Or for an isha, she's married to a mukashchin and an oisvarf and a low life and whatever. So you're going to say that that it's a chova for the woman to go to get divorced? No, wouldn't you say it's a zuchus in that case? That's Yerushalmi's kasha. How could the Mishnah say a blanket statement that it's always a chov for a woman to get divorced and a zuchus for an eved to go free? So elika da ilam mochar avdo shlomi daito shemin amochar ilam amagarish ish shlomi daito shem ugrashasi pirush ali day achar eved nimkar al korcha veinishu miskarash ali day achar bal korcha. That Tosa says, now the real difference is, the Yerushalmi says rather, the real difference is not what the Mishnah says, not about whether it's a chov or a zuchus. The real difference is that a master always has the ability to sell his eved to somebody else. So no matter how cushy his situation is now, it could change in an instant, and it's beyond the eved's control. A husband cannot give his wife to somebody else. So whatever her situation is, it's going to stay steady. So that's the difference. You can give a get to an eved, a shtar shichra to the eved, and bikona on his behalf, because he's so easily, can his situation can change so easily, can be sold to somebody else. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The Rashash is bothered. It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about Zuchus and Chov. How do you say something that's totally against the Mishnah? He says, not to be so bothered by that. That sometimes happens, that the Tanaim don't really flesh out exactly what they mean. They say something which isn't really their Iker Tam, but sometimes they really mean something else. There is a famous Kula of the Gon Milubliner, of Eliyahu Kolotzkin, who writes that after the First World War, he was Matir Agunos on the Smach of Zachon Adam Shlo B'Fanav, that Beis Din would write a get for a husband who was MIA, and they would say Mimanav Shuch. If the husband is dead, so you don't even need a get. And if he's alive, but he's being held captive, so certainly he would not want his wife to be an aguna, and he would want to give his wife a get. So he was through zochel adam shlo b'fanav. He was zochel a get for the husband. They would write a get for the husband to be zochel a get. So that was very questionable. A lot of the achronim had a problem with this. Rav Shachtzi used to always talk about this in shir. That over here, our Mishnah is talking about that it's not a zechus for the isha to be miskarish. It's a chova. And Tosfos says basically the Yerushalmi, that's true even if the husband is a mukas shchin, because tav lemes of tandu. But in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Kuf Mem, Sif Hey, quotes the suffix of the Gemara in the Maseches Yavamos Kuf Yochasam Beis about mezaka get liishto when there's a yavam. What's the din when the get is to exempt her from yibum? Then maybe she would want yibum more, maybe she would want a get to avoid yibum. But in the Tshuvas Achronim, they all point out, Chaim Vlashin in Chula Meshulash, that that was when yibum was a possibility. Nowadays, Yibum is not a possibility. To help her out of Yibum, we could be zachin a get liisha shalom b'fanah. Meaning, we can be zachin a get for an isha or an isha mezanim anachri. The Rama says it's a zchus hula lisgarish, so we could do zachia for a get for an isha when we know that it's an absolute zchus. So says the Gon Milublin, Rav Eliyahu Kolotzkin, if it's an absolute zchus, we could be zochah for an isha. So when it's an absolute zchus, we should be able to be zochah for the guy also to write the get, even when he says he doesn't want to write the get. So that's a very questionable thing. Rav Shachtzi points out in Gina Sego, Simulamid Beis, Ostez, that the Ktsos points out in Reshmem Gimel, Siv Ches, that the holding of Zacha we only find is when you're Zocha for a person, not when you're Zocha from a person. It's zachin le adam shelo befanav, not zachin may adam shelo befanav, to take something away from someone shelo befanav. And why is that? Because zechiyah sometimes works for the das of the person, like a ger katan. It works through zachin. We're not actually doing a maisa; it's just his das that we are zochi his das for him. And sometimes zechiyah is with a maisa. You're makabel ashtar shichur for an eved. That's not, you don't need das. The eved doesn't need any das. You could even be mishachar eved bal karcho. So it's working on behalf of the maisa. So in a normal situation, you're makabel matana for someone midin zachin. You're zochi in the maisa and the das for that person, because you need das to be kona the matana. So the Ketzos points out that we only say zachin l'adam, not zachin me'adam, and the reason is because das makna is a stronger das than the das kona. So yeah, we could say zachin le'adam, that we're willing to be your das to be kona. But to be a das makna, that requires a greater das to be a das makna. Haraya, a katan cannot be kona mida oraisa, the Bali Atosos point out, unless you have a das makna, unless you have someone being makna to him, because das makna is stronger than das kona. Okay, let's see the Gemara quickly. Yosef Rav Huna Rav Yisuf Rav Yosef Kaved Rav Yirmi Rav Yosef Rav Yirmi Kaved Nam Name. Rav Yirmi was dozing off a little bit. Yosef Rav Huna Kamras Rav Huna spoke up and he said, "Shma minami drabanan atofis balchov kona." We see from the sheet of the Rabbanan that when you take something on behalf of a balchov, he's kona. Amalei Rav Yisuf Rav Yosef Afilu Makam Shachav LaChirim. Even if it's going to be at someone else's expense, amalei in. Yeah, absolutely. Adahach Yitur Rav Yirmi. When Rav Yirmi overheard that, he woke up. Amalu Dardiki, Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan. He said, "Children, that's not the way to talk. This is where Rabbi Yochanan says, 'Hatovis Malchov Makom Shachov L'Acherim Lo Kana.' When you're taking something on behalf of someone else, but it's going to cost somebody, a third party, so then it's no good." Vim Tomer Mishnah Seinu. Aye, what are you going to say about our Mishnah that the guy, the Shliach, is being tofis in the get for the Eved, but it's being chav for the Adon? It's a chov for the Adon. It's costing the Adon. No, when the Adon says tznu, it's as if he's saying, "I'm allowing you to be kona it." So he already has forfeited his rights by telling the shliach to be kona on behalf of the Eved, and that's why the Adon can no longer back out. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from Amrav Chista tomorrow.